you remember when you were, you know, in love, when you like that particular toy, when you like that particular person, and it never seemed like a boring moment with that thing or that person until it did. And then all types of problems come through. Mm-hmm. Well, that, ladies and gentlemen, is what we'll be talking about this morning. Civil issues, indeed. And once again, I have had the good presence and pleasure of Mr. Jubilee Wogu joining me this morning. He's a legal practitioner. We'll be putting our heads together as we talk what exactly constitutes a police matter. Yes, we often hear people say, oh, if you don't do this, I will report you to the police. I will take it. In fact, a very common phrase in this country. I don't know if you've heard it before, but maybe you have. I will get you arrested. It's so, anytime I hear that, it's so brilliant, because if people really have that much power, we probably shouldn't be having all the challenges that we have, right? I don't know. But Mr. Jubilee is going to help us understand this shortly. Once again, welcome to Hello Port Harcourt. All right, Mr. Jubilee, good morning to you once again. Thank you for coming through.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Jubilee.
Mr. Jubilee, I will get you arrested if you don't give me your account number. I will get you arrested. You promise me.
Entirely, it's a very wrong thing for anybody to do, to try to use the police to harass a person for a matter that is completely civil, you know, and that is completely illegal and a breach of the person's fundamental rights.
So, if, for example, I have a friend of mine who owes me, you know, like 2,000 naira,
yeah,
and he has been owing me for about 4 years now.
Yeah.
And so I've accrued interest. I've told him, look, you, the first 6 months, you didn't pay, no problem. But after a year now, you're still telling me, come next week. It's no more 2,000 naira. You're not owing me 10,000 naira. And he keeps dodging. Are you saying I can't take him to the police?
Well, Section 3612 of the 1999 Constitution of Nigeria as amended, Section 36 sub 12 says that a person cannot be convicted or tried or charged for an offense that did not constitute a crime in any written law, either by the National Assembly or by the State House of Assembly at the time that action was done. So the question is, does borrowing money constitute an offense, a criminal offense, a crime in any written law? And the answer is no.
What about not paying?
Not paying is still not a crime. It's a civil, liability.
Okay, what if there is a contract? What if between myself and my next door neighbor, we sign an agreement, Jude, between Jude and his neighbor, that on so-and-so day, I borrowed from Mr. Jude 5,000 naira, Mr. Jude lent me 5,000 naira, and a promissory note is hereby written and approved and signed by me, the recipient of 5,000 naira, that after 6 months, I will pay Mr. Jude 7,500 naira for using his 5,000 naira. Isn't that a breach of contract?
Essentially, a breach of contract comes under Section 32 of the Police Act 2020. In fact, Section 32 of the Police Act 2020, in tandem with Section 7 and 8 of the Admission of Criminal Justice Act, which you looked at the other day, says expressly that no person shall be arrested for a civil wrong or a breach of contract. No person shall be arrested. That's the Act of the National Assembly governing the police, the latest one, 2020, Section 32. In fact, it states in sub 1 of that section that for somebody to be arrested, it must be a crime, just in tandem with Section 3612 of the 1999 Constitution. It must be in tandem with what an act of the National Assembly or an act of a law of the State House of Assembly criminalizing that action. Until something is criminalized in law. In fact, it's so clear in Section 3612 that if at the time the person did the action, there was no law criminalizing that act, and then later on a law comes, it cannot have retrospective effect. That's the meaning of Section 3612. Is that bad? So going to arrest someone for a crime, for a civil
matter
is entirely illegal.
Mr. Jubilee.
Yes.
I have a cousin.
Okay.
I love her to death.
Okay.
We are on the road.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And then her boyfriend comes and says, hey, Juice cousin, you are meant to come to my house and cook rice.
Yes.
You refuse to cook. You're my girlfriend. I've given you money. Come and cook this rice. And she says, I'm tired. I don't want to. And he now comes at her and now standing where I say, if you come near my sister again, or my cousin, I will report you to the police. Is that a civil issue or is that a crime?
He's harassing your cousin?
Oh, yes. He says, you are my girlfriend. I've given you money.
It depends on what he does. If he says, come and cook for me, that's not a crime.
But she doesn't want to cook.
And he has not compelled her.
But he's telling her, come.
It depends. It now depends on what he does.
Mm.
If he assaults her, if he hits her,
okay.
If he begins to do what the law calls conduct, because there is this thing that the police widen a lot, conduct likely to cause breach of the peace.
Mm.
So it must be clear that conduct is likely to cause breach of the peace. And the grounds for arrest in Section 31 of the Police Act is where there is an allegation or there is a reasonable suspicion. Now, Section 54 of the Police Act makes it very express that the fact that somebody looks a particular way or has a particular kind of hairdo does not amount to a reasonable suspicion. Or that he's from a particular tribe. In fact, it says that it is babash. It's rubbish to say that a person looks like someone who can commit crime. For
I'm going to pause you right there because I personally have seen police officers who have, in quotes, intervened or carried out some arrest based on what you just read of from the Constitution. You look like somebody that is a thief.
Yeah.
In fact, this was about 2019.
Okay.
In fact, it was at Messaline Junction. They literally stopped the boy and says, "You look like you just." That's what the man said. "You look like you just committed a crime," and they put him. I'm not joking. They put him inside the van and zoomed off.
That's entirely wrong. In fact, the law prescribes that when such a thing happens, your fundamental rights have been breached. And the right thing to do under Section 46 of the 1999 Constitution is to approach a court. In fact, this is, see what the Supreme Court said in the case of Arab Contractors Nigeria Limited versus Gillian Omana. It was held entirely at us. A civil arrangement is not a matter for the police. The police is not a debt collecting organization. It is not and should not in any community of civilized people be used as debt collectors or levy collectors or in the resolution of settlements of civil disputes among people.
Please, I'm sorry, Mr. Jubilee. You may have come across as being too quick. Could you repeat that again for the listening public?
Okay, I will read it. Now, it says, the Supreme Court said in 2013, a civil arrangement is not a matter for those who are listening, who are enlightened. They can go to All Federation Weekly Reports, Part 683, page 1977, at page 1990. It was held entirely at us. A civil arrangement is not a matter for the police. And the Supreme Court is final. It says the police is not a debt-collecting organization.
Mm.
It is not and should not in any community of civilized people. Meaning using the police to arrest somebody for a civil dispute or money issue is barbaric. It's not civilized. That's what the Supreme Court is saying. It should not be used as debt or levy collectors or in the resolution of settlement of civil disputes among people. You have quarrel with your husband. You have some money, you go and arrest him. That's wrong. And in fact, if you're sued for fundamental rights action, in that Arab Contractors case, the court awarded damages.
But what about the police officers who regularly avail themselves, you know, or maybe one could argue some police officers who have made themselves available as it were to either become a debt collector, a dispute resolution expert, or as it were, a conflict or crisis manager?
Generally, the right thing to do is to see. In fact, I did a matter recently. What you do is you add the Nigerian police force as a respondent in that fundamental right action, according to the provision of Section 46 in the High Court, and then add the Police Service Commission. The Police Act states expressly that when an award of damages like that is awarded against the police, it is that policeman that did that thing that will pay the money. Is provided expressly in the police.
Please say that again. Please say that again.
When an award of damages is made due to the misdemeanor or misbehavior of any policeman, it is the policeman involved that will pay the damages, whether from his salary or from anywhere. But the police will pay it and then require it from that man's salary, whether he be a CP or an ACP or whoever. So our people need to be enlightened. As I was even coming here, I mentioned it to somebody and I said, is it proper for you to use police to arrest somebody who's on you? The man said, yes, of course. How can somebody collect money from you and not pay? Well, what has the law said when someone is owing you? You proceed directly to the court of jurisdiction. The magistrate court's maximum is 10 million. For okay. Chief magistrate court, yes. Then you can go to the high court,
for amounts, for sums below 10 million.
Yeah, you can go to the magistrate court.
Yes. For sums above 10 million.
Yes, you go to the high court.
To the high court.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
So you go to the high court and then you file your claim, and then they bring this person. If the money is truly owed you, the court will award that amount. And if you have suffered business losses and all that, you gain damages. The court will award damages in your favor.
But here is a challenge. And once again, if you just join us this morning, we have a lawyer here with us, Jubilee Wogu, joining us once again. Wokoro, sorry. I keep getting, there are so many Wokos in my head. I apologize. Wokoro.
That's okay.
I do apologize. Jubilee here comes through for us every Tuesday. We're going to do this for a while. And on the show, we're talking today about civil issues. Right, very soon we'll talk about civil rights issues, but just we'll talk about civil disputes. Should you get the policeman involved? And according to him, the express order from the Supreme Court is no.
Yes.
But there are cases where people tell you that after going to the court, this man may not even have the money to pay. Is it when you now go to court that the man will not pay you if he says he doesn't have money to pay for 2 years for his debt?
Now, generally, when the court has powers to convert assets, lands, properties, anything that will ever accrue to that man, if the man is working in an organization, the court can attach his salary for life.
I'm sorry, what?
Yes, if the man is working in an organization, the court can attach. To attach is to seize his salary for life. He will still be working and the salaries will be accruing to the person he's owing if the court has given an order. The enforcement powers of the court are wide. The court can take money from his bank account by what we call an order of Mareva injunction. The court can take money straight from his bank account.
Okay.
To satisfy the debt.
All right, we're going to go on a break. And I'm not surprised we're getting comments right now. We'll read your complaints, we'll read your stories on social media and also on WhatsApp after the break. My name is Jude, and we'll be getting back to you right after this commercial.
We take off with the biggest conversations with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Hackett.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station. And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
All right, so welcome back. We have Mr. Jubilee still here with us, and we are talking about legal issues. Civil disputes is our focus this morning, and we're trying to get some clarification on what is obtainable and what should be here in Nigeria. So what cases should be reported to the police? That's my next line of questioning to our guest this morning, Mr. Jubilee. Thank you very much for coming through.
Thank you very much, Mr. J.
All right, so people who are owing me money, I can't use the police to arrest them.
No, you can't.
But there's another arm that a lot of people tend to use that we don't get to hear too many complaints about. That is people who would get their cousins who are military officers, their family friends, who maybe know somebody, maybe know a colonel, maybe know a brigadier, maybe who knows a sergeant, you know, and say, hey, I'm going to carry you to my cousin, or then the boys come, you know, in their military regalia and say, hey, you're owing our brother money, bring the money. Is someone just trying to help your family?
Generally, the use of military in civil disputes and even in criminal matters is illegal. Is unlawful and is unconstitutional. The military is established by the Constitution for the purposes of protecting the territories of Nigeria. And generally, except when there are joint task force created and special legislations directing the military to play roles together with the police in assisting the police in providing security for the police in carrying out their functions, the military is not even supposed to be involved in criminal investigation, generally speaking. That's the duty of the police, the EFCC, the ICPC, the NDLEA, and other special forces created by the National Assembly and the Constitution. The military shouldn't even go near civil disputes. If any military man does that and he's reported, he could be tried in a court martial and he could be seriously disciplined. And then if someone takes the Nigerian Army or Air Force or Navy to court for that conduct, the court will definitely award damages against that force or that person. And Section 3612 is very clear on what grounds a person should be arrested. It's very clear. He says that in sub 12, it says expressly, subject as otherwise provided by the Constitution, a person shall not be convicted of a criminal offense unless that offense is defined.
Stop. Repeat that.
A person shall not be convicted of a criminal offense unless that offense is defined and the penalty thereof prescribed. So two things, the offense and the penalty must be stated in a written law. And in this subsection, it goes for that to define. A written law refers to an act of the National Assembly or a law of a state and subsidiary legislation or instrument under the provisions of a law. So even a governor cannot executively make anything a crime. You still need a written law.
Really?
And a written law
what? I thought the governor was the CEO of a state. The governor should say, oh, generally, you're wearing sunglasses here. Is it, arrest him. He should be able. Isn't he's the CEO?
No, there are three arms of government. Generally, there's the executive, the judiciary, and the legislature. They are created under sections 4, 5, and 6 of the Constitution. Now, the burden of making laws rests on the legislature exclusively. Is their exclusive prerogative. In fact, even the state of assembly is limited from making certain laws that are under what we call the exclusive legislative list, which belongs expressly to the federal houses, the National Assembly, that is Senate and House of Reps. So generally, they can't make laws that are within those territories. So, for instance, laws on waterways, navigation system. The state can't even make laws with regards to offenses on the high sea. That's the jurisdiction, the territory of the National Assembly. So if it is not in a written law, it's not an offense known to law. And arresting somebody for an offense or for something that is not an offense known to law is entirely ultra vires. In fact, such an action would not only even lead to damages, the person's position in government can be challenged for that action.
So some police officers who have arrested young men and young women for having dreads, having tattoos, dressing in skimpy outfits. Why are you here like this? Why are you wandering at 10 p.m.? You know, and your skirt is too short. All those things are wrong.
Yeah, very wrong. Section 54 of the Police Act states expressly, it says that a person shall not be arrested for the appearance, the hair, then the looks. He uses the word appearance, hair, looks. Then he goes to sub 3 and says something I love so much. He said the person should not be arrested for stereotyped images of people as someone who is likely to commit a crime. He uses the word stereotyped images. People have this stereotype that if somebody looks dark, looks tough, has some tattoos, has some cuts on his face.
He's a cultist.
He's a cultist. He's this, he's that. The law, he says, no. And that's the Police Act. It's not even the ACJA that is general. This is direct on the police. And then, generally, the EFCC, too, is banned from doing debt recovery.
I'm sorry, what?
The EFCC is banned from doing debt recovery.
Are you sure about this?
Yes, I am. In that same authority, I cited Arab Contractors case of 2013.
But we often hear the EFCC is involved in, you know, things like this. Yes, there is financial crime.
Yes.
Correct me. It's within their purview to investigate financial crime.
Yes.
But you're saying that for them to go and get the money is not within their purview?
To recover debt.
Okay, to recover debt.
Debt.
Okay.
Is different from investigating financial crime.
Okay.
It's different from seizing properties by reason of the fact that there is proof that that property was acquired through the proceeds of financial crime. Okay. And what amounts to financial crime is also clear. Money laundering, fraud. Those two. Is it that there is money laundering? And because money laundering does not have to be fraudulent. A lot of people don't know that. There is quantity of money you shouldn't carry as cash. So if we were to start enforcing the law, a lot of weddings where people are spraying some tens of thousands of dollars, they will be arrested. That's money laundering. You shouldn't carry certain quantities of money as cash.
I've seen weddings where people come in Ghana
Most goes,
or naira notes, not foreign
not
currency,
dollars,
but naira notes. And they are you saying that if that money was properly attributed or accounted for, such people could be falling foul of the law?
Yes. Is money laundering. There is quantity of money you shouldn't carry. More so when it now gets international. Interstate, international. You should. That is why people are arrested for carrying money at the airport. That's why politicians are arrested. It's not that they are saying the money was gotten fraudulently. The man could have a business. He could rightly have access to such amount of money. But he shouldn't carry that amount of money cash. And then when you are moving money from one country to another, under the Banking and Other Financial Institutions Act, and under the Central Bank of Nigeria Act, there are provisions as to how money should be legally moved from one country to another. They are called approved channels of government. Approved channels. So if you are not moving it through the approved channels, for instance, people use certain religious and social organizations for money laundering. They move this money because when you move money like that, you're supposed to pay tax. So when you move the money through channels that are not the approved channel, you're able to dodge
those taxes.
So that makes it money laundering. If you move it from, if you transfer 100 million naira from one account to another, you will pay a lot of charges. Something will leave you. But when you take it all cash, something will definitely leave the money. You will drop something for the government. But when you move it without the approved procedure, then you are able to carry the cash and then you don't pay. So money laundering essentially is to ensure that the government gets. That's why now they brought SCUMO, Special Control Unit on Money Laundering, is a department of the EFCC. So when you have a business, you have this SCUMO certificate to ensure that every month you report to SCUMO if money exceeding a certain amount goes through your business account so that they can tell. Even if it's a religious organization, you still go for SCUMO now. Even if you're registered under Part C of the Kama as an incorporated trustee, as a church or whatever. So now SCUMO is like a monitoring organization to ensure that you are not laundering money. So besides money laundering, then there is fraud. There is financial fraud. That is what a lot of people really do with EFCC. And I must be very clear here. The fact that you paid someone money and the person didn't return the money, or you invested money in a business and the business didn't yield returns, and then you and the person who is running the business maybe at a loss, that doesn't make it fraud.
Okay.
It doesn't mean the person has defrauded you.
I think I understand that narrative.
That is why I also encourage a lot of people to have receipts, have invoices, have contracts. In fact, there is something you should have as a service provider. It's called a contract of instruction. You should have a form that if somebody comes to hire you, for anything that you do. The person just fills out the form and signs. Because if somebody receives money without a defined purpose and then is not able to return that money, it can be stated that the purpose for receiving the money is fraudulent. This is where the police and the EFCC clamp down on the person.
Okay, all right. So let's open the phone lines now and let's see if we can get you to interact with our guest this morning. What civil issues what kind of issues need the police to come in? What exactly should be reported? What cases should the police be aware of? Is it just only armed robbery and kidnapping? Well, is it only just your car was stolen? What exactly should the police be made aware of? Should be reported? What are the cases? What civil issues are civil? Now, first question for you, Mr. Jubilee, says, how does one collect debts if the person owing refuses to pay? If the agreements are written and the police does not have any powers to enforce debt recovery, even when the agreement is clear, black and white, must somebody go to court?
Yes, you must. And that is why we have courts of summary jurisdiction like the magistrate court. Now, there is also a procedure that a lot of Nigerians don't know about. In the High Court, it is called the undefended list.
Oh, please, could you elaborate?
Yes, and in the magistrate court, it's called default summons. Now, when someone is owing you expressly and clearly, it is not in doubt, you gave money or you render services, and there is proof that you agree that upon doing this or making this supply, they will pay this amount. You just go straight to the court. By undefended list or default summons, you're saying, this person has no defense. This money is actually owed me. You file that. When you file that, the court, that person doesn't have a right to come and say, I didn't pay, I paid. The person is expected to come and file within 5 days. Just 5 days to come and file notice of intention to defend. When he files the notice of intention to defend, the court will now look at it and say, does he have any likely defense? If not, the court will just grant what we call a default judgment, just grant a judgment, and then you get your money. So it takes a very short period of time.
So what if the person doesn't have the money?
We have legal aid. We have lawyers who do things pro bono. We have sham party. We have lawyers who you would consult, and they would do the case and just take the filing fees. And at the end of the case, you then pay them, because at this time that they may claim damages in addition to the money that you're being owed.
Yeah, but what if the debtor doesn't have money? Not
the okay. The debtor now.
Yes, doesn't have money.
He has things that can be converted to money.
Ah.
He lives in an apartment. He has a television. He has a refrigerator.
What if everything that the person sells or, you know, is estimated worth, right, is not up to the loan that he took?
Let me put it this way. When there is a judgment, money usually comes out. The person comes from a community. He has lands. He has, you know, there are people who specialize in judgment enforcement. You consult a lawyer like that, you will find out everybody has money. It's just to squeeze at the right point.
Whoa. Okay, all right. 92.3. Hello, Potako. Good morning, please.
Good morning
to you.
Yeah, what I'm saying is that your man waiting for studio, he's the nail in the head.
Okay.
You know that most of Nigeria, they avoid agreements. If you want to do a little contract now or any little thing for anybody, he say, okay, let's try put it in pain so that everybody will know he's banned. You will see that they will look at you as a difficult person. That's what people do. And that is what will save them, but they don't know that this thing will save them. And another thing I want to talk is this. Do you not say that this thing that the man is talking about going to court now? We will know that our country is very poor and most of our people here cannot afford court process. Since they can't afford court process, I thought that they deal with a little money, maybe 20,000, 50,000, or 100,000 downward, which anybody cannot because of it be in court. You see that the government will have here cannot even set up a little thing like the one I watch in TV, in the local justice court that operates in Lagos. But anybody can go there and lay a little complaint, and then they can invite the other person, they sit down there.
Unresolved.
Local people then. And that's why you see people killing one another. When they say they are helpless, they can't afford the main court. They can't have anybody to smoke with. Even police itself, if you bring the money, police want to collect all those women. They just can't even know where to go again.
All right. Well, thank you very much. We're going to talk about that shortly. Ike is in OGRA. Ike, good morning to you. Welcome, please.
Thank you, Jude.
Good morning.
I've been trying to get the number of that lawyer, Jubilee Okoro. The day he came to show, I called. My number was not ready. So please, let him give me his number. I want to speak to him privately in his office.
Oh, okay, all right. Thank you very much. Do send a message to the WhatsApp and Telegram page, and maybe we'll be able to grant that request to you. Now, you heard the penultimate caller. He said, people go in, they can't afford the legal challenges and legal fees.
So they resort to crime.
The police or whatever, the police come in, and then when the money comes, you now hear that the police are demanding for some money.
Definitely.
To collect it's I don't want to say this, but I think it's the best way. Is that criminal?
In fact, it is wrong.
Is it criminal?
By the police?
Yes.
Yes, of course. By the officer doing that, he's committing an offense.
By collecting small change, we're helping.
Section 383 of the Criminal Code Act prescribes what stealing is. It's converting money against one of the definitions. It's against the will of the other person. Definitely that amount is not being given willingly.
No, but
so that's still.
But what if the person who reports the case, right, says, well, Oga police, see, if you have to collect this money, I'll give you 20,000.
Well,
he willingly offers, you know, some form of compensation.
It's not proper. The police is not a debt recovery agency. We have what we call debt recovery agencies in Nigeria. And we have courts that are small claims courts.
Really?
Small claims, yes. If you go to the court complex, you see, the thing is, that's why we are on this show. A lot of Nigerians don't know about a lot of things. There are small claims courts. You go to the court complex, you make your inquiries, you make your position known. They will help you file a very simple process. And then the court will hear you out. It's a court of summary jurisdiction. That's what, let me put it this way. Summary means sharp, sharp. The court is entitled to just hear you quickly without all the procedures and technicalities and then make a decision.
Okay. All right. This is interesting. Okay. Most times, the money that we lend our friends and associates are not formally documented by any agreement. I am yet to see how many of these friends and associates with any iota of integrity. I have decided fully not to ever help anybody with money again, no matter how close. Instead, I will give whatever I have and if I wish, without expecting repayment. That's from Bob. Interesting. Okay. We now get to the point where, like this last call, I'm saying,
okay,
people are not willing to lend money.
Lend money anymore, yeah. Generally, a person who is not a licensed money lender shouldn't lend money. And I'll explain. Under the Money Lenders Act, you are only empowered to charge interest, because where these problems come is with interest, when you are a licensed money lender. If you don't have the license to lend money, you can't charge interest. So you're either a licensed money lender, a microfinance bank, a commercial bank, or a microcredit, like all these guys that are raging the internet, pressing you to borrow money. And I must commend, some of these people are wrongly arresting people, harassing people, sending messages to their friends and colleagues. That is wrong. That's criminal blackmail.
Criminal blackmail?
Yes, that's wrong. So they are not supposed to be announcing to the whole world that this person is owing you and calling the person a criminal and lying against the person. That's defamatory. So if someone takes a loan, you should have your procedure for how to recover that loan. The person can give you, let me give just one very free but expensive legal advice. You can obtain from a person to whom you're lending money a document empowering you to recover that money from his bank account without recourse to litigation.
Oh, interesting.
Yes. I will repeat it. An agreement in writing, and it can be one sentence. Instead of saying, by this loan agreement, because that loan agreement is called a gentleman's agreement in law. By this loan agreement, I'm giving you 100,000, a million naira to pay me back 1.2 million. That won't work anyway. Leave the interest out. What you would rather say is that you are empowered by this agreement to recover this amount from this person's account. That is where people have now tried to get what is called post-dated checks and things like that. And then the Dodd Checks Act comes in, Dishonored Checks Act. It's an offense to grant a check that you know will be dishonored for lack of funds in that account. It's an offense if you do that knowingly. But proving that offense is very difficult in court, because you have to show that the person had reasonable grounds to know that there will not be money in that account. And the person can raise the defense that he reasonably expected. Maybe he did a job, he was expecting pay by that time, and he was owed.
Okay, all right. What a conversation. What an eye-opening revelation on several issues concerning civil challenges and issues here. Mr. Jubilee, you've been of immense help. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And as always, I'd like to leave you this note. Please, if you know the right thing, do the right thing. If you don't know the right thing, please ask what the right thing is. My name is Jude. We'll be back after the break.